I want to let you know how good it is to be back with you right now in this moment. It's so good. Woo. I have missed you. I have missed you, all of our campuses, all of our folks. I've missed you so much. It's so good to be back. I asked you to pray for refreshment for our family and for me as well. And let me just tell you, God gave us great refreshment. It was awesome to be away for a couple weeks. I thank you so much as a church for giving me the opportunity to just get away, be with my family, rest a little bit, fill that tank back up, to be able to let that emotional energy, that spiritual energy, that physical energy just kind of come back up so that you can have not just pulling from the very bottom, but overflowing and saying, God, I want you to be the overflow of my life. So thank you so much for that. We didn't do anything real dramatic. We stayed in Texas. We were just right here going through the heat just like you, but enjoying ourselves along the way, which is great. And we got away for a time. We went to Chicago for a few days and it was just as hot up there. So we didn't escape anything, but it was a lot of fun. Went to a couple baseball parks, which we'd like to do, and spending time as family, ate a bunch of pizza and hamburgers, which was awesome. So we just had a great time to be able to do that. But the tank is filled back up, and I'm excited about what God has for us as a church. I'm excited about where he's leading us, excited about what God can do in our lives as a church and what he can do in my life as well. And so I just want you to know I'm refreshed. I'm excited. I'm glad to be back. Been praying for you, praying for us, and praying for our church. And this time of refreshment, I think, will prove to be very profitable for us all as we're able to journey through the rest of this summer and the rest of this year to be able to have this time. But it is so good to be back and so good to now open up the Word of God with you in just a few moments and be able to share with you some things that the Lord has for us. So let's pray together and then we'll look into God's Word. Father, thank you so much, God. Thank you, Lord, that we are a church, that we're able to connect together, Lord, in this way. Father, all different campuses, different generations, Father, different stages of life, different places in life. And so we thank you, God, that we can connect and we can connect through you. Father, as our church, many of our church family is traveling right now or for in different times of the rest of the summer, just as summertime is, we pray for just protection and mercy and strength and grace. And we pray, Father, as we look into your word, as we grow in you, that we would see, Father, that you are brighter than the sun. You are stronger, Father, than anything in the universe. You are the creator. And so we come, Father, to start this new series, to look into your word and to see your greatness, your power, your light, your heat, your strength, and who you are. And we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're starting a new series entitled The Sun, to be able to look not at the sun, S-U-N, but also the sun, S-O-N. And I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 84, if you will. So Cypress, Siena, downtown, Espanol, Loop, everybody go to Psalm 84, if you will. And we're going to look at the sun over the next few weeks. Do you know that the sun is mentioned all throughout scriptures? Now, the reason that I think the Lord laid this on my heart is because I have a visual aid that is going to be with you at least 12 hours a day. You're going to look up at the sky in Houston and you will notice the sun in the month of July. I promise you. And you'll be able to go, you know what? Pastor Greg's talking about that. And we've been talking about that at church and we've been learning about that. And here's a couple facts about that. And here's a couple truths about that. So I have got the best visual aid that you could possibly have because it is a visual aid that will help you visualize everything else. It will give you the light. Do you know that the sun is 93 million miles away from planet Earth? On the surface, it's 11,000 degrees Fahrenheit on the surface of the sun. The sun is 109 times the diameter of the Earth. So 109 times bigger than Earth is the sun. It would take you, if you were in a jet plane flying 500 miles an hour, if you started at the surface of the sun to fly to the center of the sun, flying at 500 miles an hour, it would take you a month to get there. Now think all the frequent flyer miles you would get, okay? That'd be great. It would take you a month to get there. That raging ball of fire, as we'll see, is powerful. It's strong. And we're going to see here that in Psalm 84, that the Lord is described as the sun. He's the creator of this. I want us to get us a big view of a big God. It would take 8 1/2 or 8 1/3 minutes for light to reach Earth from the sun. So when you see the light that's out there around us, that took 8 1/3 minutes to get here to planet Earth. This thing is vast. This thing is bold. This thing is big. And we're going to see in Psalm 84, and we're going to see other scriptures as we look in these next few weeks, of how God uses the sun to speak to us. The heavens declare his glory. The skies declare his handiwork. He's the God of all creation. It didn't just happen. He created it. And so this thing, this ball of fire, we're going to look at as the sun to be able to understand more about God. Now, I want us to be in Psalm 84, but here's what I want you to do. We're going to start in verse 10. But here's what I want us to do at every campus, okay? So every campus, I want you to just close your eyes in just a moment. Don't have to do it now. I'll tell you when. Close your eyes in just a moment, and I'm going to read to you Psalms 84, verses 1 through 9. I wanted to just wash over you. I did something very interesting for me, at least in my time when I was on sabbatical. I would listen to 5 to 10 Psalms a day. I would basically take my phone, and I would have my phone on the little Bible app that I have, and I would put it on where it would just speak the Bible, and I would lay it on my chest, and I'd lay there on the couch or lay there in bed or whatever it was, and I would just let the Psalms just be spoken over me. And I'd just go, amen, that's right, uh-huh, yeah, good. And it was just good. Instead of picking it up and just reading, which obviously is very important, but I just listened to the Psalms, 10 a day basically, until I went through all 150 Psalms. So 15, 20 days, 5 to 10 a day, and I would just let it roll over me. And I just want Psalm 84 to just roll over us. So every campus, every one of us, if you're on the internet, whatever it is, I just want you to close your eyes. I promise we won't steal your purse while your eyes are closed, okay? It's okay. I want you to just hear this Psalm 84, and then we'll jump in verse 10. Here we go. Close your eyes and just let it roll over you. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. I long and I yearn for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they cry out for the living God. Even a sparrow finds a home, and a swallow a nest for her young, where she can place them near your altars, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. How blessed are those who reside in your house, who praise you continually. How blessed are the people whose strength is in you, and whose hearts are set on a pilgrimage. Listen to this. As they pass through the valley of tears, they make it a source of spring water. Even the autumn rain will cover it with blessings. They will go from strength to strength. Each appears before God in Zion. Verse 8, Lord God Almighty, hear my prayer. Listen, God of Jacob. Consider our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed one. Now just, these are the verses we're going to go over, but just listen to them. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord grants favor and honor, and he does not withhold the good from those who live with integrity. Blessed is the person who trusts in you, Lord God Almighty. Isn't that great to just let that just roll over you? To be able to just hear that God can take your valley of tears and he can make it a place of strength even? That the Lord can do such great things with that? And we get to this verse 10, and this verse 10 is a huge verse. Here's what it says in verse 10. It says, better is a day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be at the door of the house of my God than to live in the tents of the wicked. The Message version says this, I'd rather scrub floors in God's house than be an honored guest in the palace of sin. I'd rather scrub floors in God's house than to be an honored guest in the palace of sin. See, what it does is it centralizes our focus. It centralizes our heart and our mind. We'll get to the part of the sun in verse 11, but here's what it's doing, and it's true with the sun as well. It's a great illustration. God is the center of attention and life. God is the center of attention and life. So in verse 10, he said, I'd rather one day, just one day, than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. What does that do? That puts our minds and our hearts of saying, Lord, you're the center focus. You are the one. You are the central aspect. Colossians puts it like this. In him is he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Matthew says, seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you. Philippians 1 verse 21 says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's Paul putting a focus on the Lord and saying, God, you are the center of my attention and the center of my life. I wonder if that's true for us today. You see, the center of our attention, center of life, doesn't mean you got to go to church all the time. Doesn't mean you got to show up every time the door's open. It's great to do that. That helps you to focus. But what it means is that the way we're living our lives, that who we are, God is the center of attention. He's the center of our lives. Timothy Keller puts it like this. It's not that you love your job too much. It's that you love God too little. It's not that you love your family too much. It's that you love God too little. And all of us, we need to really just say, okay, God, we want to lift up our love for you, getting greater and greater and greater, so that you're the center of attention and the center of our life. See, our deepest satisfaction is found in God. Our deepest satisfaction is not found in stuff. It's not found in accolades. It's not found in what we do. It's not found in even living with purpose. Our deepest satisfaction is found in the companionship, not of a man or a woman, but in the companionship of God. Our deepest satisfaction is found in him. And what happens in our lives is if God is not the center of our attention, the center of our life, the center of our solar system, then we begin to look for satisfaction in other places. And here's how it works. I put it in your listening guide. You don't even have to fill out a blank. Here's how it looks. It is this: the deeper in sin, the less satisfaction. The deeper in God, the more satisfaction. The deeper in sin, the less satisfaction we will have. The deeper in God, the more satisfaction we will have. So each of us, we're on a path. Here's the path. It's one of two paths. Are you on a path? Am I on a path of discovery or experimentation with satisfaction? Are we on a path of discovery or experimentation? This is what I mean. If we realize that God is the center of our attention, if we realize that he's the center of our satisfaction, that deeper in him brings more satisfaction in life, if we realize that, then we're going to be on a path of discovery. We're going to keep walking this because we know that it is God through Christ that we're walking on this path of discovery. But here's the way it works as a believer in Christ. I've been a believer in Christ for 30 years now, and here's what I've found. Is sometimes I hear these things about satisfaction. I'm like, man, I want that, and I hear people preaching that, but as a believer, I'm not always satisfied. I still want something more. I still get anxious. I still get nervous. I still get fearful. I still grieve. I still hurt. I still have dark clouds that roll in at times. There's times of just hurt and just angst down in there. So what does that mean? Does that mean that God is not satisfying? Does it mean that I'm walking in sin? Here's what it means. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you know that God is your number one satisfaction. But here's what it means, is that you're on a path of discovery of that. Discovery of that. It will never be complete and ultimate until heaven. We see in a mirror dimly, but one day we will see face to face. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, I have not laid hold of it yet, but pressing on forward, I continue on. And I press on in the strength and the guidance and the heart of Jesus Christ. So he is able to say, here we go. And we're walking in this way of I want to walk with you, Lord, in a powerful, powerful way. Not that I've already reached the goal or I'm already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I've been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Philippians 3. So stay on the path of discovery. And if you're not on the path of discovery, that you know that true satisfaction in life is discovered in God, in Christ, if that's not where you are, then where you are is you're on a path of experimentation. The path of experimentation is, well, what's going to do it for me? I'm looking for something. I need something. What's going to do it for me? I just kind of broke it down into different age groups. We could just be specific. And this isn't always the truth. I'm just giving big, broad brushstrokes. Here's what it is. If you're a teenager, you're going to go down a path of discovery that will probably be based in approval and excitement. If you can get the RPMs going as a teenager, if you can get the approval of everybody likes you as a teenager, then you're going to think satisfaction comes from that. As a single adult, it will come from accomplishment and companionship. If you could just get that next raise, if you could get that next job, if you could get that next promotion, that next accomplishment, that next thing done on the things to do list, and that companionship of friends or a date, then that's where satisfaction will be. For married folks, it's stability and blossoming. We want to make sure that the rent is paid, that the mortgage is paid. If we could only pay off that house, then we'd finally be satisfied. If we could only do this, that, and the other, we'd finally be satisfied. And we want things to blossom for our kids, for our family, for our grandkids. We want to see it prosper and blossom. It's a path of experimentation. Those are good things, but it's not where the true satisfaction comes. Empty nesters, and as you get older in life, you find satisfaction in comfort, in consistency, and convenience. I don't want to go all the way over there. You know what a hassle it is? That line over there is going to be way too long. Why are things changing like they're changing? I mean, the whole world's turning upside down every day, it seems like, and that's not consistent. It's not comfortable. It's not convenient. So we go, well, you know what? We bought furniture 40 years ago. It's good enough. Let's just keep it till we die, right? It's comfortable. It's consistent. It's convenient. We don't have to do anything with it. Well, satisfaction's not going to come from that either. And, you know, we can even spiritualize these things and think that it's not always just stuff. It can be things like, well, you know what? Satisfaction would come if I had a gift like so-and-so spiritually. If I could teach like them, if I could sing like them, if I really understood the scriptures like them, if I really was able to walk in those ways like they walk. All of those things, we begin to think the satisfaction comes from even if I could just be more like that other Christian. If I could have something else, if my ministry could be like their ministry, if my life could be like their life, and we all of a sudden we're on this path of experimentation where we want to just kind of shuffle the deck and get new cards. But let me just tell you, get off the path of experimentation and get on the path of discovery, and you'll find that better is one day in his courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And you'll say, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. And when you see those things, then they begin to make him the center of attention, the center of life. Now let's look at Psalm 84, verse 11. This is the key verse. This is the verse that's kind of kicking us off for the entire rest of this series, these few weeks in the summer that we're doing this. Here's what it says. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. He does not withhold the good. We're on a path of discovery, not experimentation. He does not withhold the good from those who live with integrity. So he's a sun and a shield. Now, is this saying that God's in the trees and God's in the river and God's in the sun? No, that's called pantheism. That's God is everywhere and he's not anywhere at the same time. So he's in all this stuff. Creation is a symbolic representation of showing a real and personal God. It's not that God is a tree and you need to go hug a tree. It's not that God is the sun. It's not that God is the moon, that he's some type of in nature and we just kind of frolic through nature. He is the creator, and it says he is a sun. He is bold. He is strong. He's 109 times bigger than me and you, at least 109 times million bigger. If we're 98.6 degrees, he's 11,000 degrees at the surface and millions of degrees at the core. He is God. He is great. I want to show you that God is our sun and our shield. I want to show you three things about the sun, three things about the sun that shine and show who God is, who God is. We've sung a song here at our church, which has been a great song, talking about God of creation. And here's what it's called, So Will I, and this is the words of it. God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and you fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. Number one about the sun, and this is about God, unlimited power. unlimited power. Can I tell you about the sun just a little bit? So when you look up on a hot day, you can go, wow, that's how much power the sun has. Here's what the sun is a power plant. You would find if you marked off one square yard, so 3 feet by 3 feet, one square yard, that one square yard gives off 70,000 horsepowers of energy continually. 70,000 in one square yard. Now there's tons of square yards on the sun. More than 10,000 number of square yards than the surface of the earth. Suppose we were to buy up the energy that the sun gives off for 24 hours. For 24 hours, we were to buy the energy. You think about your electricity bill right now? Think about buying the sun's electricity bill. For one day, if you were to buy it for one day, it would at 1/4 cent per kilowatt hour, which is not what you're paying, okay? You're paying more than that. 1/4 cent kilowatt hour. To pay for this energy of one day of the sun, 1 kilowatt, 1/4 cent kilowatt, you get it, kilowatt hour, you would have to do this. You would have to have silver dollars cover the United States 4 miles deep. Silver dollars over the whole United States, 4 miles deep. That is an amazing thing. God created the sun. He created all the energy from it. And there'd still be enough energy in the sun to last some 30 billion years. So God has created this. There is unlimited power in God, more than we need. Reserves are possible. But you know what many of us are doing? We're living life by a little bit of light. Oh, God, can you help me on this? Lord, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And man, it's good to get, I get it. But thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. For Jesus says in John chapter 8, for I am the light of the world. Not this little bitty flashlight light, not just some little, I'm going to raise it up at the end of the concert. God is unlimited power. He is the sun. His light right now is over every place of daylight. And there where it is night in the earth at this time, the sun's coming. And you may feel like it's nighttime in your life. The sun's coming. It's coming. And his unlimited power is far greater than some flashlight. So I just want to call you to unlimited power of who he is. And many of us are living on the edge. But Philippians chapter 4 says, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can make it through this trial through Jesus who strengthens you. You can make it through this depression through Christ who strengthens you. You can make it through this grief through Christ who strengthens you. You can make it through cancer through Christ who strengthens you. He is the Son. Unlimited power. And if you were to buy it for a day at a fraction of a penny, you'd have to fill up the United States with silver dollars 4 miles high. Because it is power. And Psalm 84 says he's the sun. And that's good because number two, he's needed light. He's needed light. Oh, don't you need light? I mean, the world's just getting darker and darker and darker and darker, more confusing and more confusing and more confusing. And we need light so badly. We need light. Now, when this psalm was written, it was a psalm for people on pilgrimage, folks that were on a journey. So if you're in Cyprus, you feel like you're on a journey. In Siena, downtown Espanol, you're on a journey. We're all on a journey. We're on a pilgrimage of life. We're journeying through teen years. We're journeying through singlehood. Then if God gives you a marriage, we're journeying through married. We're journeying through into empty nest. We're journeying through into senior adult living. Not like you got to go live there, but senior adult life, I should say. We're journeying through. And in journeying through that, we're pilgrims on this and we need light. When this was written, one commentator said this, keep in mind, there were no lighted streets or cars with headlights. When you were traveling in the wilderness, when they were talking about in Psalms, and it got dark, you had to stop. It got cold when the sun went down. Wolves howled in the darkness, so the travelers huddled together and waited for the dawn. The rising sun meant you could see your way again. It's brought warmth and cheer and brought a new day that would take you closer to God's lovely dwelling place as they would journey in pilgrimage to the temple. Is it nighttime in your life right now? sun's rising, and it will give the needed light for that decision, for that heart, for that emotion, for that strength, for that journey. We need light on our pilgrimage. Number three, it's unlimited power, it's needed light. And number three, it's protective heat. Protective heat. Now we know Houston is hot. You know that the hottest day in Houston was September 4th, 2000. September 4th, the year 2000, it was 109 degrees at Intercontinental Airport. 109 degrees. Now, who knows what the heat index was, right? Because it feels 109 when it's 82 sometimes in our city with the humidity. 109 degrees. If you remember back in 2011, it was the most recorded all-time hottest days in length. With that year, we had temperature thresholds that went above 100 degrees 46 times that summer. 2011, 46 times it went over 100 degrees. 2000, it was 109 degrees. We understand the sun is hot. Now, if you're a Mott, which is my last name, if you're a Mott, here is my philosophy on sunburns. Never again. That is my philosophy. Never again. I spent most of my childhood life beet red, right? Until finally I'd wear oxidized stuff on my nose. I was always wearing a hat. I would always have a t-shirt on to get in the water. All my cousins were from Louisiana, so they had the kind of more olive skin, darker hair, darker eyes. So they just tanned. I go from white to red. That's what I do. That's it. So my philosophy is never again. So if I'm out in the sun, like getting in the water or something like that, I bought one of these shirts that's 50 UV rating sunscreen. It's like shirt. It's a shirt. It's like a flak jacket, okay, for the sun is what it is. So that's what I wear. I got that. I got a bucket hat that I wear that's got a brim all the way around it. There is nothing in our family less than 50, okay, on the sunscreen. So you Panama Jack, eight people, you know, that just put on Crisco oil kind of stuff, you make us sick, okay, is what you do. It's 50 plus, and if I can get 100, I'll take 100, okay? So I'm like, I put it on my face, we spray it on. I mean, it's like taking the trash out. I got to put on sunscreen to take the trash out. It is full on intense. If you're a Mott, you got to be able to understand sunburns. And at the same time, being a native Houstonian, there's something, this is going to sound weird, something so homey about walking out of your house and hearing locusts in the trees and air conditioning's going and feeling that heat. It's just Houston. It's home, right? A brisk Colorado breeze just wouldn't be home. Keep telling yourself that over and over. Just think of the property tax. Just think, it'd be awesome, but it wouldn't be home. But you walk out and those locusts are in the trees. You hear all your neighbors' ACs. Feels a little hot. Not unbearable, just cozy kind of hot, you know, because you're only out there 15 seconds before you run back in the house. The heat of the sun brings warmth and warning. The heat of the sun brings warmth and warning. And I tell you something that's not real popular in today's preaching. God brings absolute warmth in your life. There's moments where you feel him almost like a blanket saying, Lord, I'm with you. I got you. You got me. And those are so special. And those are so awesome. And those are so incredible. And there's a warmth of God. It's the armor of God coming around us. It's the wings of God coming around us. It's the protection of God coming around us. It's all those things. It brings us great warmth. Better is one day in your courts, Lord, for no one can snatch me from your hand. For your love is unending and unspeakable. And at the same time, there's a warning. There's a warning. There's a heat of the sun that you gotta go, you can't play around with this thing. There's a warning. And there's times in our lives as believers in Christ, and even as a non-believer, God's going to give you a warning. And I just want to tell you, as I say it to myself, heed the warning. If it's a verse of scripture, if it's a declaration from somebody that's preaching, if it's a word in a song, if it's somebody that you love saying, I don't know if I do that. If it's something, a conviction in your heart where you feel the steps moving in that direction, stop. Turn it off. Click away from that. Go away from it. Find a place of escape. There's places of warning. And we will be very wise if we heed the warning. Heed the warnings. Because God is a son, it says in verse 11. And we could feel so at home and so at warmth. But at the same time, there's a time you go, you know what? This thing can be not what I want it to be. This can be a warning. I need to understand what the UV is. I need to understand what's happening. Now, I'm not trying to say God's going to smite you or God's going to get you. I'm just telling you that this Bible is filled with warnings. And we're living in a today's age where people say, there's no warning. There is no God. I just do what I want. And if it feels like what I want, then therefore it must require blessing. And I'm telling you, there's warmth that comes from God, no question. Oh, feel it every day. But there's also things you read and you go, there's a warning here. Verse 11, it says, the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord grants favor and honor. He does not withhold any good, hear it, from those who live with integrity, for those who walk in godliness, another way to say it. Blessed is the person, not just period, blessed is not just people, blessed is the person, happy is the person who trusts in you, the Lord God Almighty. There's a warning in that as much as there is a thrusting out, a saying, let's do this, let's go for this. God is your shield as well. He wants to shield you from things. He wants to protect you from things. Now, let me tell you just flat out, there's going to be tremendously difficult things that are going to happen in your life. Some of those are going to happen from the evil of somebody else that brings tragedy or heartache or hurt or just dismay or depression or not knowing what to do. Somebody else's evil is going to crowd into your world, and you're going to have to at that moment say, Lord, I'm trusting you to be a shield. To extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one is what it says in Ephesians 6. So God, I want you to be my son. You're the center of my attention. You're the center of my life. You're the center of the solar system of my heart. I seek first you. And as I seek you, Lord, I want to trust in your unlimited power that you can work through me. To this end, I labor and struggle with all of his energy that works so powerfully within me. The end of Colossians chapter 1. I want your unlimited power, for then I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I can go from strength to strength, even in the valley of tears. You will hold me there. Unlimited power, and I need light, Lord. I'm not real sure where to step, but I need your light, and thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so I need you to guide me as I walk this thing out. I'm not the perfect parent. I'm not the perfect grandparent. I'm not the perfect spouse. I'm not the perfect person or the perfect pastor. I need you, Lord, to just give me just one more step in that needed light of you. A pillar of fire guided the Israelites at night to give them light as they journeyed on pilgrimage. And I need lastly, Lord, there could be a lastly, but finally, in what I'm trying to tell you, I need your protective heat. I want that warmth of comfort, but at the same time, I can understand if I get off your path, sin is never the place of satisfaction. And I need you to be my shield. See, God wants to be that strength for you. He wants to be that power for you. Let's just take one more illustration. Let's take, if I told you that the sun is 93 million miles away, it's actually 92,000,096. So I'm rounding up, okay? 93 million miles away. Let's pretend like this sheet of paper represents the distance from the sun to us, just this one sheet of paper. If you were to take this one sheet of paper and it was all to represent 93 million miles away, the distance between the Earth and the nearest star, not the sun, the nearest star, you would take a ream of paper of 500 sheets? No. You would take a stack of papers and you would stack it 70 feet high to get to the next sun, next star. If you were to go with the diameter of the galaxy, you would have to span it, a stack of papers, 310 miles high. So I'm not talking about a God that has control over just 93 million miles, though he does. I'm not talking about a God that's just got a ream of paper, though he is strong enough to do that. I'm talking about a God that can stack it up all throughout the entire universe. That's how big your God is. Hear it as we close. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Not just from someplace in the cosmos, from a holy heaven, that Jesus Christ came to planet Earth so that you and I could put our faith and our trust in Jesus, the S-O-N, and say, Lord, we trust you in Cyprus and Siena and downtown and Espanol and the Loop. We trust you, and we say better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And I want you, God, to be my Savior through Christ. You can pray and trust Jesus as your Savior. Or I just want to keep continuing on this path of discovery, of discovering true satisfaction in life. I'll be on it till I get to heaven. But who you are, and I want to know that deeper. This is a time of response that we're at right now. Every campus, you've listened, you've sung. Now I want you to pray and to say, God, I want to respond to you, your greatness. I just want to go, wow. I want to ask you to be my Savior, that you can come through more than 93 million miles. You come from holiness to the sinfulness of earth and send your son, Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. It's true, as the message says, I'd rather scrub floors in the house of God than be an honored guest in the palace of sin. We pray, God, just as the sun is the center of our galaxy, we want you to be the center of our lives. As we'll see the bright sun as we walk out of church today, you're even brighter. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, listen on the radio or on the internet or whatever it is. Doesn't matter where I am, it matters where you are with God. It's radio or internet or wherever. Would you just take a moment and say, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Lay my life down in faith to you and ask you to save me. I lay down experimentation and I discover God through Christ. If you're a believer in Jesus, would you just respond to him and be amazed with how big he is and how much he loves you? If he's warning you, heed the warning. If he's warming you, just trust in his intimacy and closeness. Lord, you are a sun and a shield. In Jesus' name.